Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Hello, and welcome to Under the Bus. I am Pretty Bird, and that song was written by our very own Jay Hatter, sung by Shout Even Shy. I do so love that song. And tonight we are talking about the reach out of darkness when you go through a struggle of any kind, and you know the weight of the shadows tend to linger, but you can see the light. You can see the end. You can see where hope is, but it's just out of reach. So I want to hear all about that transition into that space, into, you know, whatever the light brings, whatever joy might live there. I don't know. I'm not in that space. I'm looking at it. I can see it. So that's progress. So I want to hear all about how y'all climbed out and made it through, because I tend to sink and wallow and do a lot of damage to my own mental things with my negative self-talk. I'm positive for the rest of the world because I think everybody's amazing. And then the voices in my head say, yeah, you know what, but here's your whole list of crap that you hate about yourself. So looking for light, wanting to find it, I see it. I know where it is. I'm in the right direction. So I want to hear all about everybody's transition. So that is hopefully what we're going to be touching upon tonight. And I have so many people. I'm so excited. So we have Raconteur. Say hello.
Hello.
We have Sky. Hi, Sky.
Hello.
We have Wayne. Say hello, Wayne.
Hi, guys.
And we
still
have...
Topic board.
We're in a team of voices. Thank you for reminding me, by the way. We are part of a group on allpoetry.com, which is the largest on online poetry site. And we are a team of voices. It's free to join. If you stop by, come in and say hello. We're happy to have you. And that's where you can find all the lovely writes that we have for you this evening. So sweet, 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 sweet. My twisted sister, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm so full of hope and sunshine. I'm just wrapped up in Shirley Temple tonight.
Okay, whatever it is that you've had, I need some. I am loving the light. I think I love the light. I don't dwell there often. It burns my eyes. It makes me bitter. I don't know what my problem is. I'm like a vampire.
I understand.
It's like, oh, Shirley Temple. You know, I used to love her music.
I'm here to bring the sugar.
The sugar. Well, you're sweet for a reason, doll, you see? And so I know that we have all struggled, so... If you have any insight that you can share about when you finally went over to, you know, the light side, that sounds like I'm evil and not wanting to transition, but that's not it. It's just I kind of live in shadows. Not that I am, you know, depressive. It's just I tend to absorb people's pain. I know I sound all scatterbrained, but I do. I tend to absorb everybody's stuff. So, like, when I leave an area, people usually feel better, and then I've got the weight of it because I process other people's stuff through my own stuff. But that aside, it just makes it harder to dig out because I have to carry all that extra weight. And but I see the light. I do. I believe it's there. I see it. I can almost touch the end of it with my fingers. So how do you all climb out of it? Wayne, this question is not for you because you are like an eternal sunshine. Like even when you say you're grumpy, you're all like, you can do it. Oh, everything's in your grasp and you're amazing. You know?
They know is it good.
You're absolutely amazing. I don't know how you do it. You know, I need to like rub your head for good luck because you know, a little osmosis never hurt anybody. But so tell me, feed me insight, give me hope. Open to everyone.
I take a really, really heavy friend to try on bathing suits with me.
well, what happens when you are that heavy friend? Because you know, I'm a little.
There's always somebody heavier.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. There's always someone bigger.
I'm just kidding. I'm just so kidding. I would never do that. That's mean and cruel, and so not me. That would be mean. I'm not like that.
No,
I'm always the friend. I'm the guy. I'm the heavy friend. I let my skinny friends take me. I'm like, see, you look great in that bathing suit. Let me try on that bikini with my stretch marks and my heart scar. Yeah, look how good you look. That's the way to do it. And then you go home and cry.
No.
Aww.
It's crying,
oh,
is that
no.
you?
Yeah, every time I friggin' see Shirley Temple, I have traumatic flashbacks.
That's the best thing ever. I love those banana curls. My hair was too wayward. My mom couldn't tame my curls for nothing. I have, like, ridiculously curly hair. And it's not like I don't have wonderful spirally curls. I don't have anything that remotely looks like a well-maintained perm. I've got, like, just sometimes some random ones are half wavy. Sometimes they're all corkscrew. They're like each little chunk of hair does its own thing. Like if they're all different people and they can't make up their mind how humid it is today. So
Look at you.
Wasn't he adorable?
Oh my God.
I know, with those curls. I love how it's the bane of your existence, but you're all like, here, look what I have to suffer through.
There were other things, like a ballerina dress.
Oh, I wanted to be a ballerina so badly. Hey, sweet, that's
my mom. My mom used to I would scream and cry every time she tried to put me in a dress, even when I was little.
I wanted to be a ballerina. I took tap and ballet and jazz. I took little chubby girl, big giant smile, was in all these little things, and I never even got to wear a tutu. I was so mad. I wanted to quit everything because I only wanted to be there because I wanted to wear a stupid tutu. And no, for my little number, there was no stupid tutu. There was this little sequence number. And so my mom had to go and buy me a tutu so I would just shut up.
Tutu by 4-4.
Well, I'm not putting the tutu picture on the board, but I did have a tutu because when I was three, I was in a cast till I was about three on my foot. And when I was three, I finally got the cast off because I had it since I was born. And they said that the first thing that they should do is to put me in dance because it would help me learn how to walk and, you know, do everything with my foot. So I was in dance very, very young. So I was like the youngest one there. I had no idea what I was doing. And I had a tutu and it was awful.
Because
I did it for a few years.
I used to love it. 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 Until I was seven, and if you all read Stapled Shut, you know what happened to me at seven. My father lost his mind, told me to, you know, made fun of me and the singing and whatnot. But it was also the first time he kind of mentioned my weight because it kind of grew out of my bathing suit. And so I was very hyper aware of the fact that I was a chubby girl in class. Now, I was never fat, you know, well, until now, but that's neither here nor there. I was just a chubby 7-year-old girl. I was very healthy. I was robust, but not necessarily rotund. But everybody else was like these little scrawny, anemic girls. And so I was very aware that I was different because all I could hear was my father, and I quit. I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to be so different that people would stare at me. Isn't that horrible? Oh, see my brain. My brain is, this is not lightness. Okay. So back to tonight's topic. Tell me how you guys don't drown in negative self-talk, because I'm sure that we all have our moments, but this bout of my brain hating me is a little cruel. And so how do you be like, shut up, brain, without feeling crazy? Y'all have therapy, apparently. So, hey, docs, how you doing?
Come on, Rex.
You guys have no insight for me?
No, I let you down.
I'd be too happy about it.
I write poetry.
You know, that's
it,
usually my go-to.
You can't let someone get you down, because if you do, they win.
Well, that's just it. It's not the people getting me down. It's my own gosh darn self. So win or lose, it's still me.
Yeah.
And so it's this weird thing, but I just haven't been able to climb. You know, it started with my impromptu surgery on it, you know, and then it's just been weird and whatnot, and I haven't been writing, and not for nothing, but my brain is very, very jumbled up on a regular basis and is constantly running into itself, which I'm okay with, because usually I will purge my pain or purge my sadness. Y'all have read me. My words are a little bit jagged. They kind of eviscerate things, and I'm okay with that, because if I purge it, then I've got more room for the joy, all the good things. But I haven't been writing lately. I haven't been able to do much of anything. My brain is just kind of like dragging its feet through nonsense that I don't need to be steeped in. But I see light. How do you overcome the nonsense it's nonsense to me because it's in my brain, but not that everybody has nonsense. But for me, I kind of want to punch myself in the throat because, you know, not seriously, but, you know, because my brain is just, you know, why are you like this? Why do you have to do that? And why is everything so black and white? And you know, you make yourself feel like that. And
If you don't
accept how about you just
you
say to yourself, it's okay to have nonsense, and it's okay to accept that I'm depressed, and it's okay to be depressed, and it's okay that it's going to be happy. Instead of keep yelling at yourself that it's not okay, just accept that it is okay to be this way and go on and just get over it. And when you get over it, it'll be okay. Because you're battling with you're battling with that. It's so not okay that you're mad at yourself that you're. It's not okay. So you're battling with yourself to say, I can't be like this. So you're mad that you are like this. So you're like in this crazy vicious circle that I'm not allowed to be like this. So I can't be like this. So I won't be like this. But then I am like this. But no, you can't be like this. But I am like this. No, you're not allowed to be this way. So I better get out of it. It's like you've got a four-way argument going on.
Yeah, and it's all
that's
an underlying background of every thought. And I'm more stuck on the why. I'm like, but why? But why do you do this? And why do you need to know everything? And why is that any of your business? And why do you feel like this? And so I spend a lot of useless, wasted time not getting any answers. Because if I knew the answers, I wouldn't be asking the questions. And it doesn't really matter anyway in the long run because – you know, it's whatever the why, it's the aftermath that we're, you know, I'm dealing with. So it doesn't matter the why. It just matters the whatever the current thing is. And it's just,
It sounds like you need some excitement in your life.
I do. Well, okay. I do not want to jinx myself. There's good excitement and there's bad excitement. I've had about enough of the unpleasant excitement that I can handle, you know? So no weird surprises, no emergency doctor visits, no weirdness. I want joy and wonderfulness and good things. You know, I want my, like, I like submitted a thing to a for a book contest. I'm just, yes, publish me, please. Just publish me. Just that would be wonderful. That would take me right into that light in the tunnel. And let's say hi to Lady A. Hi, Lady A.
Hey,
hi,
how are
Lady.
You?
Hey.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, I am doing wonderfully, considering that my brain hates me, but that's nothing new. And so we were talking about trying to reach the light at the end of whatever tunnel, because I tend to be weighed in the shadows, and I'm kind of over it, kind of tired of feeling like crap, kind of tired of hating myself, kind of tired of all the nonsense, and I'm not much of a I hate winter, yay spring kind of person, because I tend to love Christmas. Like, I had a cottage business for years about making Christmas ornaments and whatnot. I mean, I love Christmas. And we have a caller, and I do not recognize the number. And hello, 959, who's calling?
I don't know. Who is this?
This is Pretty Bird.
This is Blue. I'm just messing with you.
And Blue,
how are you? I'm so excited.
Now, Pretty Bird, I've been trying to find your show all over the place. I didn't know you had a show tonight.
I do. It's once a month, and tonight will be that night. And so I'm all excited. I love my little show. It's all, you know, 11 o'clock on a Sunday, so it tends to be a little bit quiet, you know, and I kind of like the discussions and the talking and the whatnot, because I was telling them earlier that y'all are kind of my therapy a little bit. I kind of bounce all kinds of stuff off y'all, and you guys are fabulous. I appreciate it all. And yes, love.
If you continue to talk to the four arguments that are going on in your head, maybe you can be like civil and develop four personalities, and then you'll have some excitement in your life, and then you can have happy and depressed and psychotic, and you can just imagine how much you could have going on. So maybe you should just keep doing
goodness.
That.
Oh, my goodness. And I'll never be bored again.
Again.
They call that psychosomatic tendencies.
Say how that would work for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I might finally be able to write that book I've been wanting to write with all that going on. That's awesome. That's so funny. So who wants to go first tonight? Who's ready to read?
Drum
I am.
Bus.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Rack, and who else said I am?
Me.
Andrea, Lady A.
Okay.
Sweet,
all right, so I'm going to go Rack first, and then y'all can decide who goes next because you guys tied. So let me pull him up.
So are you guys reading poetry? How does this work?
Are we what?
Are you just reading poetry, or how does this
show
work?
Yeah, the topic board for tonight is the light at the end of the tunnel. So that was what the topic is, what we're like discussing, and what the poetry is leaning towards. But we're reading poetry, and we were discussing and having a grand old time. So if you've got something, go put it on the topic board and add it to the list, and we'll get.
I can put it up. I can try to get close to that. So we'll see if it works. Let me go and put it up. Okay.
But put it on the topic board.
How do you find
the room?
I can't find a room. I can't find a chat room.
I'll send you a link in a second. Let me put Rack on the board.
Hold
on a second. It might be nice if I actually get back in the thing.
You know the way.
I see a team of voices, but I can't find under the bus.
Well, okay, Brack is on the board and the team of voices. Okay, I'm at the very top of the top of board. Is a team of voices. I mean, is my under the bus board. You have a poem
there
up there
is,
already.
I see it.
You're good. Yeah, but
I click on it and I go to the topic. I go to the comment room. We put comments in. But, I'll find it.
It's the regular message board. It's just team of voices. It doesn't say.
I can't find it. Okay, there's a show link right there.
Okay, we are on a team of voices, Wayne, and that's where we're chatting up on the board on a team of voices. You already have a poem on under the bus. You already put your poem up, like inside the topic board, so you're good, Wayne.
Okay.
And we lost Hal for a second, but he's back. Hey, Blue. And so Rack is Rack is on the board.
I found it.
And here we go.
Penchant for the Pedantic by Raconteur. Mother Nature is simply a bitch, devoid of a sense of humor of any kind. That light at the end of the tunnel is nothing more than a trick of the mind. Luckily, there's thousands of platitudes detailing how life isn't so bleak, happily spelling things out, spoon-feeding us the answers we seek. I look in the mirror and change what I can. Shedding tears is an exercise in futility. Life's proven nothing goes according to plan. Wandering aimlessly, I succumb, moving towards that damn light. Unfortunately, I'm blind as a bat and lost my will to fight. Happiness is around the corner. It's a shame that I live in a round room. The goal is to find inner peace before my life lies in total ruin. So I open my eyes every morning and fill my lungs with cleansing breath, taking life as it comes, pondering what I'll leave behind after my death. End poem.
Apparently, you and I live in the same place, Rack, because that is exactly. I know that feeling very well, as daunting as it seems. And, you know, when you look on Facebook and other places online, and it's all of this uplifting, you know, slay this and conquer that, and you're a warrior goddess, and really, I'm like in my jammies at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because I'm lucky I have enough energy to make a cup of coffee. And you know, because sometimes you have days like that, so I absolutely understand this. And So I get this struggle. This struggle is my struggle. I am right there with you. And so at least we're in good company. So, Sweet Pea, what do you think? Are you on mute, Sweet?
I am. Good Lord. First off, I love the title. You know, and I love anybody who calls Mother Nature, you know, a simple bitch. But... I really love the whole poem because he's like wandering aimlessly. He's constantly looking for that light. I love that he says he's blind as a bat because that just always makes me laugh. But bats also have sonar, but they always go into the dark cave. So there's kind of a irony there for me. But happiness is around the corner, and I fill my lungs with a cleansing breath, pondering what I leave behind after my death. Well, it might be your vision, but it's not going to be your eyesight. The goal is to find inner peace before my life lies in total ruin. I think you provide a lot of inner peace for a lot of us, and you do bring a lot of happiness to many around. So I hope that you will always fight for it, because I know that you bring me a lot of peace and a lot of love. So your poem is beautiful, but don't forget that you do bring a lot of love to us. So I adore you, Rackentor.
Thank you, sweet.
Oh, me too. She's absolutely right. You're awesome. And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, you know what? I really love this poem because it's so truthful. And I think that I am in the same boat as both of you are and have been for quite some time. I can totally relate to this because in the end, you know, you read those platitudes here and there and all you want to use is the big giant F word. And I think shedding tears, that's the only thing I disagree with, is that shedding tears is an exercise in futility. To me, it's a way to get out that angst and anger and depression is to cry sometimes. And but I really love this poem. I think that just speaks volumes to people who go through this on a daily basis. You know, when you try to pull off all the things that you're supposed to pull off so that you can feel better, but sometimes there's a chemical imbalance that physically is very difficult to fix when it's imbalanced. So that's something that we have to look at when we talk about being in a place of depression or darkness, that sometimes it is a situational thing that can cause a depression, but oftentimes it's a chemical imbalance in our brains, and we need the serotonin. So that's, you know, what that's all about. But you did a great job on this, Rack. I thought it was a terrific poem, and with just enough darkness to let somebody in and see what's going on. So it was really good.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
And Blue, what are your thoughts on Rack's poem?
First of all, I just want to say, Lady A, thank you so much for that review, because I actually have bipolar really, really bad. So I have those ups and downs. Sometimes they go hours. Sometimes they go days. Sometimes I go through a work week, and I can only work 2 or 3 days a week and not work a 5-day work week. So that's pretty constant for me in my life. And also trying to find people around you who support you, because people who have chemical imbalances and things along those lines, support is sometimes greater and more effective than the medicine that we're on. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
The part that I liked the most was the round room, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm probably gonna get emotional or something, but it's hard for people to understand. Unfortunately, a lot of my family thinks that it's just medication that solves the problem. They don't get it when you tell them that you feel like that you're in a mentally unsafe place. That's too much for them to understand, because they think that everything is solved by medication. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say about the round room, because that's what really hit it for me, because that's very personal to me. So anybody who can write a poem like this and really understand the depth of what they're writing and how much it would impact other people, that says a lot for that person. Okay? That says a lot for you, Rack. I appreciate what you did. Thank you.
Thanks, Blue. Yeah, I know what you're saying about the medication, because, you know, sometimes it's just masking the symptoms and not solving anything. And, you know, it stops people from looking at something that makes them uncomfortable. That's why they harp on the medication, because, you know, they can't deal with what you're going through, even though you're the one that's going through it. They can't even look at it. And, yeah, I understand that. I do.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, I hope I don't say the wrong thing here, because that's kind of a sticky subject, but I think it's a great poem, and life is what it is, and I think a good massage would brighten your day up there, Rack, and think positive, and you can hear, you can talk, and you can feel, and there's a lot you shouldn't have to see, and you're a great entertainer, and I can't see you, but I still love you nonetheless, and your jokes are wonderful, and you don't have to be me, so you have a lot to be thankful for.
So all it is. Oh my goodness.
I think it's a very misunderstood illness, and I think people are very impatient and don't understand, and that's why there's not a whole hell of a lot of support out there, because some they just don't understand.
Well,
and
it's like that, not just for anything diagnosable. I mean, loved ones, especially if you're the strong one in the family, if you're down or if you're having a moment where you need to lean on somebody and they're used to leaning on you, they don't know what to do themselves. Like just in normal everyday things, when it's not an intense thing, even if it's just a little thing, they have a hard time sometimes, because what are they supposed to do when the person that holds them up, you know, isn't strong enough to do that? Like, and they freak out. It's insane. In my head, it should not be a word, in my opinion. But it would be nice if, in a perfect world, you know, I can lean on you, you lean on me, things ebb and flow the way life does, and all is well. But it's not like that. People need what they need from certain people, and there's not always the capability of reciprocity that way, which is heartbreaking, especially when you love these people. So, Sky, if you would comment on Rack, and then I have your poem up on the board.
Thank you, guys. I really love the your poems out of the fold of the Hurt Locker. I think they're very moving and honest and raw, and I just really love how they're written, because the emotion really cuts deep, I feel, with its honesty. You know, this piece was brilliant. I agree. My favorite line was the one that Blue kind of pointed out, with the round room and happiness being right around the corner, something that is completely unattainable due to circumstance. And, you know, you speak candidly about, you know, being blind at the bat and lost on my will to fight. And, you know, people that know you understand that holds a whole different weight and a whole different meaning. And you do say it quite candidly. And I think in a way, perhaps, sometimes we do have to do that to be able to deal with certain things and be able to process certain things and to be that candid about it. And then, of course, at the beginning, with the light at the end of the tunnel, that hope being a trick, a cruel trick, that even trying to travel towards that hope can sometimes seem unattainable. So really, really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Thank you.
And you're on the board, Sky.
Thank you. I had a pretty long day, so I appreciate it. This is called I Have to Remind Her Frequently, and it's actually written in 2011, so it's about 10 years old. Grief asks to curl beside her in a box of bones, ligaments, tongue tied into a noose, misprinted lies, unbelievably believable. And the truth of it, they were not born in graves or in foreign fields of pain, but molded with clay, threadbare tapestry, weathered like dry stone, destructive in chest, where I keep the most precious of things. It's there where she whispers, cuts lines upon my face, and climbs a distance to separate rooms and hollow thought. It is there she feeds, scraping at the bottom of wells. I have to remind her, frequently, to smile. Not the painted, flaccid, brushed-on, drifting lint, but the kind that is scattered and rippled in time pools, the kind that is inconsistent in the most consistent of ways. The everyday canvas of stars, trestles, seasons of green, alabaster silk and deep autumn auburns, the glow of the moon and warmth of the sun. I remind her of kind eyes, sips of laughter, and all the little things to be thankful for. I won't lie. There are days I do curl beside her, warm in depression's palm, but eventually, I convince her to remember all those beautiful things, at least for a while. And
you know, I don't know what it is when you bring poems to my show, but they always settle into like the depth of me. Like they don't even stop at my skin. Like they just like get in there, and I'm lucky they don't fall out my eyes all the time. Well, they kind of do, but shh. And because I absolutely love the idea of this, the recognition of that whole tongue tied into a noose. I live in that space. That whole unbelievably believable, I live in that space. And I love that you're all like, you know, here's the sun, but I get it that today, on this day, I'll just keep you company. I see you there, you need a minute, and we'll try again tomorrow. And I absolutely love that, because that's probably exactly what I needed to hear in my quest for that light at the end of the tunnel. It's there. It'll always be there, even if your eyes are closed, even if you can't see it. Maybe today's not your day. Maybe we'll get a little bit closer. Maybe tomorrow we'll venture outside for a minute. And I love that. I love that whole feeling of this. I love that. I won't lie. There are days I do curl beside her, because sometimes there's not much else you can do, you know? And that is just beautifully touching and wildly appreciated. So thank you for bringing that. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And Raconteur, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was gorgeous as well. It feels a very gentle way of, you know, helping someone through something and helping them, you know, almost like being on a bus or something and they're looking in the wrong spot. You know, you're kind of helping them look where they're going to see something that's going to help them. You know, they're looking in the wrong. I don't know. It's moving in a way that's hard to describe for me. You know, there's that familiarity with the person that you're talking to that comes through in this to me, and a definite understanding of empathy for what they're feeling, and kind of gently wanting to help them through it, so that you remind them that, you know, it's not just that, you know, there's more to it, and it's very comforting, very soothing to me. I enjoyed it very much, Sky.
Thank you, Rex.
And Sweet, your thoughts? Mute.
Speak.
I am on mute. I'm talking all these nice, beautiful things to you, Sky, and look what happens. I do love this. I love the lines where she whispers, cuts lines upon my face and climbs the distance to separate rooms and the hollow thought. It is here. It is there. She feeds. Wow. This whole thing is just stunning and beautiful, and it's got this hollow feeling, this deepness to it. This, of course, I also love deep autumn auburns. It's haunting, yet in a beautiful, sensuous way, and I kind of want to crawl into it and live there for a little bit.
Thanks.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, Sky, your poetry is so wonderful, the way it projects motion to the reader. I love this poem, and you said it all when you said, I have to remind her frequently to smile. We all need to be reminded to smile. And then you put yourself in her shoes by saying, I won't lie, there are days I do curl beside her, warm and depressions, a palm. This is a warm, sweet, and emotional poem. Great job, Sky, as always, and I love your poetry. Good job.
Thank you. It is actually not two people. It is the self talking to the other self. So,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's why you crawl into my skin, girl, I'm telling you. And Blue, your thoughts.
Yes, thank you. There's six lines in the middle of the poem that tie it from the beginning to the end. And I think this sums everything up. Let me see if I can read it. I still don't have glasses because I lost them. It goes, not the painted placid brushed on drifting lint, but the kind that is scattered and rippled in time pools, but the kind that is inconsistent in the most consistent of ways. Those three lines can almost be a whole poem by themselves. Pretty much with those three lines, Sky, you can basically get on anybody's level. By writing those three lines, you have the ability to basically almost understand anybody, any place, and just really be able to talk to them. I think that's a phenomenal, I think that's a great gift to have. And the way that you write your poetry, I've been trying to follow it more. The Auctioneer is one that I have added to a list.
Yes.
I'm probably going to add, write The Auctioneer. That talks about love. This one talks about grief. They're just very, very hard topics for some people to talk about. So, and the way that you do them so well, and you do it in such simplistic fashion, there's no buttering up of words. There's nothing fancy. There's no ribbons tied around it. It's just straight what you get. And for some people, that's the greatest gift that you can give to somebody. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
And Lady A, if you would comment, and I have you up on the board.
Yes, I'm just going to read what I wrote, Sky. This is brilliant. Your pen is treasured brilliance. I love the style of this piece. When you speak of her, we are our own comfort most of the time. I love it. It's a fantastic poem. And it is on my list along with many other poems that you've written. I've changed my mind as to what I wanted to read, if you don't mind. I'm going to put a different one in the room. Is that okay?
Yeah, just put it up on the board.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrea.
You're more than welcome. It's just a fabulous poem. Okay, The Silken Thread is a really nice poem, but it doesn't fit how I feel tonight and how things have been. I know we're talking about survival and stuff, and that's kind of picking yourself up by your bootstraps kind of thing. But this is, it's called L is for Lonely. lonely like no other kind of lonely, the gut-wrenching, vomit-inducing kind. Lonely like there is no tomorrow, and today was just as bad. Lonely with music and birds singing and deaf ears never hear the song. Lonely like the color black, bruised and battered, not strong. Lonely like being lost in the woods, rescue never comes. Lonely like pretending to smile, weeping and wailing all the while. Lonely like believing we are our own happiness, filling up with empty things at any price. Lonely like secrets never told, they eat your soul till you are cold. Lonely like fake people, fake friends, like a man and a woman, love to the end. Lonely like it's never good enough. This too shall pass, I am thin-skinned, not tough. Lonely like living on the cusp, like needing to belong but rebuffed. Lonely like never fitting in, try again. Lonely speaks of distant shores and skies, released from this vacuum of cries. Lonely like fear that cripples men, paralyzes dreams of love. Amen. End poem.
I remember this one, and it is a depth of solitude that I wish wasn't so familiar. It is, and I wrote before that it's like four poems in one book, and it speaks of an almost beautiful desolation, if there can be such a thing, because you touch on so many aspects of lonely, so many aspects of being alone while not wanting to be alone, where I tend to be in my own little space. I tend to be invisible, and who'd have thunk with my boisterous self, but I do. I tend to be invisible. I seldom complain about things unless they are, you know, to the extreme, and then enough for me to mention it. But because I don't mention things, everybody assumes everything's all great because nobody notices anything. And, you know, and that's my fault for allowing that. And but I it's hard when there are people everywhere that you know care, that you care about, that just don't see what you're going through, that don't pick up on all the things that are out there and bold and highlighted and screaming, yet they hear silence. And it's a hard place to be in all those scenarios. And I think that this is a very vivid depiction of that. And Hal, your thoughts on Andrea's poem?
Okay, I had to take myself off mute. Okay, so basically this is what I wrote. Here's what I wrote, and I wasn't done writing it. The depth of the last two stanzas is a summation of my bipolar roller coaster. Wow. It's like a hug. When you see another really understands the lonely, like living on the cusp, you know, just like what you said in the last two stanzas. It's just like, you know, it's almost like she's giving me a hug right now, vice versa, because it's somebody who understands. And that's support right there. That's exactly what you're talking about. They're not just words, you know, there's a lot more to them. And that's, you know, and I just want to say thank you, Lady A. Fantastic.
Oh, my.
Great.
Thank you.
There's a depth of understanding that is quite amazing, and it's not easy to find. So it's kind of wonderful to be able to put that into words and to come across the situations where you just need to hear that at the right moment, because it does matter. It makes a difference. And it's not that misery loves company, but it's really, really a great feeling to know that you're not alone, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Sweet Pea, your thoughts.
She's muted.
I know, though.
I ran out to take care of my dogs. I didn't even hear the poem. I'm sorry. Sorry, lady. I apologize. I will read it and put a comment on it. You know I will.
Yeah, that's okay. Thanks.
You know, I had a puppy issue.
Yeah. I have to say that. Go ahead.
I was just going to call on Sky to comment. So go ahead.
All right.
Thank you. I'm gonna head to bed after this one. I'm actually, Lady A, if you don't mind, I'm gonna tie this into answering Pretty Bird's question, and I'm also gonna comment. So, loneliness for me, I think when I get into to those, what I tend to do, Pretty Bird, is something that kind of reflects in this too. But I retreat to my solitude. I'm very much an introverted person. Despite how much I talk on the radio, I really don't like going out and talking to new people. And often when I feel myself get into the state of emotion of depression or anxiety or anything like that, I completely envelope myself. Sometimes even with AP a little bit, but definitely even going out with family or friends, I'm very much the canceller. I will seclude myself completely. And many people know if they make plans with me too early, I always cancel because I'm like that by nature. But it gets even worse during certain times and certain bouts, and I will just completely close myself up and close my walls and close my doors, and that's it. And sometimes I have to force myself to kind of get past that and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go out today. And then by the end of the day, I realize how much fun I had, and it lightens my mood, and it brings me happiness, but I have to kind of force myself to do it. I have to force myself to go out a lot with people. So, and I even sometimes my godchildren now, I'll be like, oh, I don't know if I want to pick them up today. And, you know, because you get so complacent with yourself and with your thoughts. And then I do, and I take them, and they bring me so much happiness. Or I'll visit my mom, and I'll find, okay, I'm going to go do it. And sometimes it's those little bits of relief that help in the end. And in relation to this poem, with the loneliness one feels, I think that kind of solitude really plays an effect, especially in this piece where there were so many things, lonely with music, the birds singing, that even sweet things and things that you like to do and things that you love become deaf to you and you can't hear them. So I think that stanza was beautifully done. And then the lonely, like pretending to smile, weeping, wailing all the while, that face you put on for others, and where others might think you are very different on the outside than you are really in the inside, and you're very good at pretending, so much so that some people might not know the grief that you're going through and the help that you need, and some are just too prideful to say, I need it. And then, again, there's so many pieces in this I really loved. There was another part, the fake friends and who we surround ourselves with and what kind of people that we give ourselves to. And then this too shall pass. I am thin-skinned and not tough. And again, going down to, self-deprecating and saying, I'm shameful to cry. I'm shameful to say that I need help. I have to be thicker skinned, when in reality sometimes that thin skin is good for us, because sometimes we have to be translucent to others in order to get past what we need to get past and get the support that we need, and there's no shame in that at all. I thought this was an incredibly emotional and honest piece, and sometimes it's really hard to say the words that we're thinking and feeling and kind of put them out there and have people and put the ability to judge us. I think that it's incredibly brave for anybody that does that. Really, really well done.
Thank you so much.
I'm done talking now.
You know, I am right there with you. I am the queen of self-isolation. I really, really am. I don't even realize that I do it until I find myself kind of an island. And so I absolutely understand that. I truly, truly do. I think I don't ever ask for help. I don't ever, I try to do everything on my own always. And by the time I ask for help, it's, I'll only ask once. But if I'm asking, it's because I need it. Not that I want it, not that I can't do it, because I've tried everything and I need it. So if I ask for help, for those people that are really close to me, if I ask for help, they know that, what? Are you all right? But when I'm at that point and I'm asking, and they don't notice, it breaks my heart. And it's because I'm quiet about it. It's not like, hey, hello, this is me asking you here. I'm all, can you help me? And they're like, yeah, I'll get to it. Like, it's like it ain't no thing. And then I don't remind them because, you know, I tend to be all, you know, F you. Because, you know, I'm like, I might have a bit of an attitude. I'm just saying. And
I hide too. That's what happens with me. I just disappear and hide.
I even closed my AP account for like a week, like a couple of weeks back. My AP, my Facebook, I was just like, just disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, I just, let me just.
But I find what I do though is, and it's been my saving grace in a lot of ways. Is and it's like what Sky said, I force myself, I push myself to do the things I don't feel like doing because I feel sad or for whatever reason I'm feeling down. And I will make myself get up, get dressed, get my hair done, put my makeup on and go out or do whatever it is that I don't feel like doing. And then other days I don't get out of my jammers. So, you know, when the hair's not done and it just, I look a wreck and all the rest of it. But I think we have to, even though it could be chemical imbalances in the brains, we still have to make ourselves move, make ourselves do those things that we don't want to do. And that in itself is a big step in helping ourselves. Because I refuse to succumb. I really do, even though I feel like sometimes I just refuse to succumb. I don't know if it's an inner strength that I have that I'm not really knowing where it comes from, but I just, you know, there's still, I want to still believe there's beauty out there worthwhile. And one of the people that I admire the most with that in regards to that is Anne Frank. And here she was cooped up with like four other families in the attic of this, and yet she could write what she wrote and look out the window and still see the blue sky and a single flower and be so thrilled to see it. And so those are the kinds of things that I don't allow myself to stay in that dark place for too long, you know.
That's awesome. That takes a lot of strength, and quite frankly, that's a brave thing to do. So I think that that's really quite amazing. I'm not quite at that point yet. I'll get there. But we are an hour in. So before you leave, Sky,
I want to comment.
Okay.
You don't talk a lot. Don't let me comment.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Okay. I said, loneliness can eat you alive. If I were not alone, I would feel. If I were not alone, I would feel lonely. When I'm around people, I feel so distant sometimes that I got to go home, and so I won't feel so alone. I think it's maybe because I'm so schizophrenic that I need to be in a crowd of me. I hope loneliness departs you, and I hope you're filled with contentment, and you deserve to be surrounded with love. Great, great point.
I love your positivity, Wayne. I can't tell you enough how much I just always love your genuine outlook on the world, on people. It's always just this font of positivity, but it's not like obnoxious. Like, it's not like somebody with like all this pep and vigor. They're just all sitting there going all like, hey, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and I'm all like, and come close enough for me to actually slap you. But you're not like that.
You'll hear my poem
just
later on. You may change your mind when you hear my poem.
That's funny. But we are at the halfway point, so let's do weekly announcements so that anybody listening can hear what's going on for the week. And then we have a lot of poems to get to, so we'll go through those. So let's see. Rack, you have a show coming up.
on Tuesday, 11 o'clock. It's, what did I call it?
You're off the rack.
Yeah, no, I would, yeah, well, that's the name of the show, but and it's Human Voices, but I'm trying to remember what I put for the topic board, because I put it up a while ago. It was perception is reality. Yeah, perception is reality.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because you know, at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you could look at something and it doesn't matter what it really is. It matters how you're interpreting it, how you feel. You know, people hurt your feelings and they don't do it, you know, because they mean to hurt your feelings. But, you know, because you feel a certain way about it and it hits you a certain way or you see it a certain way, it still hurts your feelings. So that doesn't change that your feelings are going to be hurt, you know. So it doesn't matter that they didn't mean to hurt you, you know. Think thoughts like that. My mind is twisted, so that's why it takes a whole show to talk about.
I see it in perfect sense. So you're awesome. And
Thank you.
Monday, tomorrow night is Deb's show. I don't know what it is.
Personal prompts. It's Monday.
Yes, but I don't. I'm looking. Personal prompt Monday is Critters in
Clothes.
Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds just all kinds of fun. So check out that topic board. And Wednesday, I believe it is Lady A, you're with Sky Wednesday, right?
Yes. And we're going to have Mysteries of History. And the topic is unusual happenings in history that are little known. And so mine is clearly about the 1904 Olympic Games, Summer Olympic Games, in particular the marathon race that took place. And it's the details are up on the board, and it's quite interesting. So take a peek and come join us.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. And then Thursday, Miss Sweet, you're up.
The Four Walls. She's on mute, so I'll talk for her. Right, Sweet? What did the four walls tell you, right? Sweet. Are you talking to the four walls, Sweet?
She probably goes,
I am. I am talking to the four walls. yes, it is. It is. If your bedroom walls wrote you, if your childhood bedroom walls wrote you a letter, what would they say? So it is... that is what it's about. Come join me. Tell me what your bedroom wall said to you. I'm kind of interested to hear what might have happened.
Ooh, see, interesting.
And all those
interesting
fun things.
And then Friday is Tic Mac Poe, and I'm not sure what Saturday brings, but that's most of the week for us. And I have
Saturday's mine. I waited all this time.
I'm so sorry. I was like, "Fuck your show," and then I forget about you. I love you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. She's trying to keep me longer. My eyes are pouring with tears. Saturday over at Poetic Slice, 8 p.m. We continue on with our Lord of the Rings journey, the Two Towers. So in-house only, drop a poem, there's lots of quotes. It's a journey there, Sweet. I'm going to make you like it.
Not ever going to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope. Party, I hope you guys have.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, go ahead. Party,
it's a hard hop.
Me and Lady A, you hit the head.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. That's who's playing is the champion against the what would you call me when you're like a past
you're a
champion?
You're a challenger. You're a challenger.
I'm a challenger.
Oh,
hey,
my
challenger. The champion, so we should have a great time.
Oh, you're going to eat me alive, I know, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah,
Sky's shows on Lord of the Rings are hobbit forming.
That's funny.
Oh.
And
that's
Sky
hilarious.
Has dropped, And I have Miss Kay on the board. I will post her again because there's been some chatter. So there she is. And I am going to play her. There is a sound cloud. If I can read these tiny words in the studio to find out what the heck it says. Here she is. And here we go.
The Breath of Ordinary Days by Kay. Soft goes the brushing of the pines. Skulking, the willow law, clean sweeps. Born without a cat, 09 tails, holding a glitter party in your hand, only what is thrown is litter. Don't mock her intelligence. Cloak and dagger, hugger mugger cloistered, hem and hurricane lamps. Her breath lingering in the air upon moonlit frost, country miles barefoot lucidity, carpet in the mosque roof gauge. Listen. Among the threads of this life, snowflaked and delighted the colors of stars, portraits the album of death. Water to skin mirrors, marble in the wine to silver, and reaching for golden amid the cedars of ash and palm.
You know, she is very vivid in her verbiage, and I absolutely love that about her. I do. And sometimes she's a little abstract, but I love this. Don't mock her intelligence. You know, that is like the best little mild warning ever, you know. It's like just awesome. And listen, and she captures your attention with these little words in between the strokes. And among the threads of this life, snowflaked and delighted, the colors of stars, portraits, the album of death. I mean, everything is kind of in this last stanza. And when she ends with, and reaching for golden amid the cedars of ash, I mean, that just speaks of trying to triumph over the struggle. And I kind of, I love the way she danced around that fight. And it is definitely a fight. And I thought that this was lovely. And let's say hi to Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Unmuted.
Yes. I am so glad you could join us. So this is Kay's poem, and we are getting comments. So so Blue, what are your thoughts on Kay's piece?
I think this is really good for what we're reading tonight. The Breath of Ordinary Days, I do like just one small line that says, water to skin mirrors. I think that's talking, you know, just you have to know the truth about yourself. You know, what it entails, everything, what you go through every single day, you know, pretty much accept yourself as you are. You know, you have to love yourself first before you love other people. I think that that's what that says. So that's going to be my one line that I pick out from this poem that hit me the most.
Awesome. And Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts on Kay's piece?
I actually like the line that Blue liked. I think that is a perfect line. I think it says a lot, and I'm going to agree. I think that's the one line that I take away.
I thought it's a great line. It kind of makes you stop and think for a minute. And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot of little things in here, I think, that make you ponder the struggle that she's talking about. The pause in the middle, the dramatic pause, is kind of what I like. It kind of fits my personality a little bit too, you know. It's like, don't mock my intelligence, you know. It's just you want someone to seriously consider what you're saying. But anyway, the poem itself is a beautiful statement towards that struggle, and her descriptions were great. I liked the pines and the forest setting that she's talking about, and you know, the way she kind of broke it up too. She's got you know, the listen, the way that she did that, it really worked well. It's a beautiful poem, Kay.
Absolutely. And Wayne, what are your thoughts on Kay's poem?
Well, Kay, so far by my head, I dare not mock her. She sees things that I can't even dream of. And she has a life that most cannot endure, and her phrasing in her poems is amazing, and I'd be a fool to try to evaluate them properly. I love her poetry, and I can't wait to hear more of it, and she's one of my heroes. Great job.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And Lady A, what are your thoughts?
No, I have to agree with what everybody said already, and although I find that the abstractness of her poetry requires a lot more reading, like, you know, to sit down and be quiet and just go through it thoroughly. So I like what she's written here, and her style of the actual physical style of the poem itself is great, and the abstractness of it, for me anyways, requires much more attention.
I can absolutely see that. Anne Hatter, your thoughts?
Unmuted.
Unmuted.
I'm still playing catch up here.
No worries. And Hal, I have you on the board if you are ready to read.
Yes, I will. I'm just give me a second. I'm just finishing up a little note here to Lady A that you sent me. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Let me go and pull that up real quick. All righty. Take me a second, and let's see. I wrote so many poems in the last 3 days, it's crazy. All right, here we go. The name of this poem is called Unshackled a Perception. Hypergenium cloaked eroded, a deadbolt parasite, lucid, his subsoil of self-absorption. Before I finish, this is actually for a contest about subterranean, but I really believe that you can relate it, the way that I wrote it, to a tunnel or trying to reach for that light at the end of the tunnel. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Dusty cracked shadows of gallowed restrained bars, midnights, swallowing cartoon, watered by rock silence landscaping, catacombs, fathomless shackles, frontal lobotomy, steel talon threaded fog, fluid leaks, vapors, his corridor cloaked, causeways, frosted scars, mismatched edges, hypodermic veins, acid raindrops, heartbeat, fall under icicle cadaver wedge. Upon the cavern of sunken groundwater along the edge of the horizon, clandestine, middle extracting clouds jostle for position high above the sun's first light. Cerebellum's asphalt kettle baton, blindfolded, railed, echoes collide, skyline valley suicide squad. Downstairs, skeleton gravediggers' limbs, overlaid loom spider footprinted walls, frenzied hypothermia, the nine lives under the coffin skull, unbound, stretching, watery tendrils, weeping willows of the morning wind, unchained under floorboard corridors, pathways, untrodden stand, tombstone quilled porcupine chambers, shackles, hollow footsteps, concourse, chained blades, a zebra's sinister smile, tick, tick, tock, tunnel's stapled splotch, phantom's phosphate plays the flute, ragamuffin's hourglass shawl, stone under 6 feet, torque plotted, jagged, sod mirrored, book slotted, evil, pure evil laughing, intensified, rectified, clarified, die, short breath, unfettered, a blindfolded mirror, high places, subaqueous tunnel, intuition's postpartum depression, pupils nested inside a parenthetical's long night. End poem.
Wow, that is kind of amazing. I'm loving intuition's postpartum depression. That is just brilliance. That's just brilliance. But yeah, there are many parts of this that absolutely speak to its topic at hand and to me personally. Catacombs, fathomless shackles, frontal lobotomy, steel talon, threaded fog feels just like my brain. Like I know that all. And then where is it? Unbound, stretching watery tendrils,
weeping willows of the morning wind unchanged under floorboard, or unchained under floorboard, corridors, pathways, untrodden stand. And that speaks to me of the only thing keeping you in that place is you. And, you know, all of those places you can go, that the paths you can seek, the help you're looking for, all of it has been there, and it's still there, and it's just you haven't been able to take that step towards that. I can absolutely see that in this. So very well done. Nicely done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, it's very intense, this piece, and I think it was your style of writing is very different than anybody else that I've ever read, really. And but you have this creative way of using words that are stab you right in the heart, you know, like a deadbolt parasite and catacombs and shackles and steel talons and scars. Hypodermic veins, acid raindrops. Like, it's very, very, it's a very dark piece, and comes from obviously a dark place. But then you hear, I like this verse here, upon the cavern of sunken groundwater, along the edge of the horizon, clandestine mineral extracting clouds jostle for position, high above the sun's first light. And that jostle for position is like these two people, these two parts of us that are in a constant conundrum, and it's daily who's going to come up first and stay. And I just thought that this was a very creative poem. Blindfolded, railed echoes collide, skyline valley's suicide squad. And there's a word there that needs attention. Sometimes we slip a word inside and don't really pay much attention to it. My ears are always open to that word. And because I lost someone through suicide, and you never recover from that. So the ones left behind are left in the same kind of pain that the one that took their life and left the world because of it. So it's a very, very important topic that you've touched on there, too, just with that one word. But I think, life is worth being just the same, no matter what, no matter what the struggles are, no matter how hard it is to pull up and pull out of it, even for a few moments daily, it's worth it. And I think this was a really extraordinary poem.
Thanks, Lady A. That's appreciated. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Rath, your thoughts?
Yeah, I could definitely see how this relates to going from the darkness into the light. There's a definite sense of, for me, I don't know if you had said it or if it's just what I was interpreting, being inside of a mine. So that could be like inside your brain and you're trying to mine a thought. That's kind of what I got from this. The confusion, the darkness, and then heading out towards the other end of what you're trying to dig up. That's the sense of what I got from this. There was the jumble, the struggle to pull something out, not being able to see where you're going, confusion. But in the end, you know, you came out on the other end. So I really appreciated it.
Thank you, Ed.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, I'm always saying the wrong thing, but this is an amazing poem. But if I was there, I'd want to try to leave. And if you got a ticket to go, I'd cancel it. And if you hadn't made a movie of this, I would make one because you'd make a killing. It's a complex pattern in this. It's amazing. I mean, it's also so explicit. It's sad, deep, and exquisite at the same time. And the light can't be it. The tunnel will be a DB death in my eyes. But it's a great job in this poem. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne. I do appreciate that. I know sometimes my abstracts are kind of like hard for you to interpret, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just weak-minded, I reckon.
No.
and
sweet, your thoughts.
Oh, I love this. I think it's got a dark feel to it. I love the verbiage. I love downstairs skeleton, gravedigger limbs, overlaid loom, spider fingerprint walls, fringed hyperthemia, the nine lives under coffin skull. I mean, this is dark and, you know, gritty and down to earth, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just perfectly dark. And I, of course, love Free of Risk, so there's so much imagery and so much kind of haunting things that are going on here. And, yeah, it's abstract, but for me it's not. It's like a really great ghost story that's weaving in and out through here and like evil laughing and intensified, rectified, clarified, die, short breath. So it's kind of something like I would have written, and it's just kind of beautiful to me and kind of creepy. Uh-huh. So I think it's great.
Thank you, Sweet Pea. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I love the way you sat there, like you, all the lines you read. They absolutely sounded ghost story-esque, and I kind of wanted you to read the whole thing because it's like, you know, it was just amazing the way you read that. That was fabulous. And let's say hi to Deb. Hey, Deb.
Hi, Deb. Hello.
And
hey,
Heather,
Deb.
If you would comment on Blue's poem, and then yours is up on the board.
Yeah, Blue, you like the metaphors, don't you? This is great. When you can take abstract metaphors, yeah, when you take almost abstract metaphors and you piece them together to where they touch on reality and then they draw the reader along. This is very familiar to me. I used to write a lot more metaphorically like this, and I miss it. This is beautiful. You can tell you like the metaphors. Keep it up. Good touch.
Yeah, this is definitely away from my flowery style, so I don't do too many of these. So, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's got a not a darkness to the words you chose, but it's got a it's not a bright per se. I mean, tombstones, quilled caterpillars, porcupines. Some of these chain blades, zebra's sinister smile, beautiful. Ragamuffin's hourglass shawl, it's packed with them. Very well done.
Thank you.
And whenever you're ready, Heather.
Okay. Okay. And there is... See how this goes. All that I had. I was waiting for the light, but it never came by. What tunnel did you say? Oh, my. The light you say is too bright in my day. I wish you all the luck with that. The end of my tunnel is darker than most. In fact, it's blacker than black is black. It's always darker on the other side, on the other end. I will never have to pretend to see a light where there is none. I learned to walk, but started to run. You aren't amongst all the things that makes me happy, so I sit here wondering, did you take the light that was supposed to be mine? Now I see, now I understand. You left me here so you could, and it was your, I'm sorry, it was your plan to leave me here alone, cold and sad, because you took it all that I had. No silver linings, no happy ends, no lights to find me, no benefit friends. I think I've gone too far to believe that you are out there still trying to find me. If I go back to start anew, I think I would never talk to you with my heart still beating, and because it's true, I would have let you go because I never met you. I would have watched you happy and spend your heart that was made away too far apart. You know, to remember your love was so far before you could remember your love was mine. How did a decade turn into two be hiding in a cave, still loving you. To me, it's not over. It's falling apart. But I know and why. It's a broken heart. In poem.
You know, Hatter, I keep on telling you this. Every time you get wistful, my heart breaks with you. It's just so relatable. And you go through a plethora of feelings with a little bit of confusion. And then to heck with that, you can have your, but there's no light here. You're in the wrong tunnel. And then if I could go back to the beginning, I never would have done it in the first place. And then to end with, you know, but to me, it's not over, you know, and that heart is still broken, and it's not something that you can let go. And I find that to be about as honest a timeline as any I've ever heard about love's lament. And it is stunning. So, Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts?
I think that Hatter really has pulled out his emotional pen here. And what piece is like, I would have watched you happy, or I would have stayed away, is just so marshmallow, and I mean that in a good way. Back further, though, it's always darker at the end, at the other end, and I will never, ever have to pretend to see a light where there is none. I learned to walk, but started to run. The I learned to walk part puts me in mind of your accident. So there's so many different things in this that just make me want to cry. But at the end, to me, it's not over, and it's fallen apart. I'll die knowing why this broken heart. I mean, damn, Hatter. Kill me with some of these.
I am right there with you. And Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts on Hatter's wonderful wistfulness?
Well, I don't know what to say when he said the end of my tunnel is darker than most. In fact, it's blacker than black is black. Wow. Did you take the light that was supposed to be mine? To leave me here alone, cold and sad. No silver lining, no happy ends. It's, to me, it's not over. It's falling apart. All hell knowing why. This broken heart. Wow. I really hope I don't know. I don't die knowing why this broken heart. But I feel like I'm right there. I'm right there. I don't know why someone broke my heart.
I just want to see if I still had it. Make girls cry.
You can make girls cry.
Oh, you still got it, that's for sure.
Yeah, you still got it. And the girl that has a broken heart, you still got it.
But I've been going through a slump. It's been very difficult writing, so I had to reach back and say, well, let me try something else.
Well, it works for you.
Words.
And Raconteur, your thoughts on Hatter's piece?
This doesn't just tug at the women's hearts. It's unfortunately relatable, you know. For some people, it ends with the heartbreak. For others, that's only the beginning because, you know, that's one of those things, the scars that just, you know, don't really go away, you know. You had given someone a piece of yourself, and you don't really get that back, especially when they break your heart. So, you know, there's forever that hole that you can't fill, and you've captured that emotion in this wonderfully. It's, you know, like Bird says, it's wistful, it's poignant, it's reflective, and that's what makes it such an amazing read for me. I enjoyed it very much, Hatter.
Yes, you are.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Well, here I go again. I'm going to put my foot in my mouth. This is a wonderful poem, and you know, life is hard, and I would like to see you dig out of it at the end and find the light and have brightness. Then the tunnel is waiting for you. She meant a lot to you, but you shouldn't let her win. When you can think about her and smile, you win. And I'm cheering you on, partner. Great job. Great poem of sadness. I like it a lot.
Thank you, Wayne.
And Blue, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, I had to unmute. The lines that I chose are very contemplative. And, of course, let me just go ahead and read them to you. It goes, again, I have to try to read this without my glasses. It's always darker on the other end, and I will never, ever have to pretend to see a light where there is none. I went to walk, but I started to run. And just as the previous people were commenting, when you have a broken heart, I mean, it's, and I'm going to make a reference to a previous poem too, it's like being in a round room, okay? You're going in circles. You're running. It's almost like on a merry-go-round. You don't know which way you're going. I mean, you run, it's like a constant circle. Okay, and that's why I say it's contemplative. I mean, which way is your heart going to do? Is it going to do something to where it's going to be dark for a long time before you see the light? Or are you going to just go a short while before you see the light? So I think that stanza was very much a clincher in this poem. And very open and very raw and definitely very great poem. Thanks, Hatter.
Thank you, man.
And Lady A.
Well, I can't really add much more. And I can just, I mean, your poetry, every time I sound like a broken record, but you have such depth to what you write. And I just feel like there has to be some happiness for you still in the world. And you're well loved by many people, but none more than me. And you keep gifting us with this poetry, and I wish that we could gift happiness back to you. And this was another brilliant piece of yours that ripped my heart out. So when you can do that with your writing, well, you're a great writer.
This is
thank
true.
You. Thank you, lady. And that's what it is. That's what it is a writing exercise, because I'm not going through this right now. Don't think I am. It's just reaching back and learning. Yeah, it's just, so I was there once.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all it is. I appreciate all the
That's awesome.
You guys caring so much.
So
this is just the writing. Yeah.
I'm glad that you're okay, Hatter. There's, you know, it's horrible to think that there's all this pain all the time. So I'm glad that you're doing well. And we have Titus up on the board. He has a SoundCloud, and then Wayne, I'm going to put you up after him, okay? And here we go.
Earth angel.
I gotta take off.
Okay, Hatter.
Perseverance has helped to open the mind's eye. Taken from love's grasp, retinues, once believed too precious to be left behind, to find such a star. Tonight in the field of scope, magnitudes far less, but then some do exist. Thankful in the slightest that nobody would include our transients. If let yield not, though brief a moment, one can ruminate with God Almighty. Below the horizon apis I've heard, beyond reason my mind will absorb retention. My hopes, my dreams, my every wish it seems will bring it near. Destiny as my waiting yonder, neath the horizon death to have me find. The light at the end of the tunnel is, the laws of physics are subservient. helped by a myriad of souls whose own transpire similar fates to unleash, each guided in some way. Attraction to fulfill what love is, souls will unite. Highlights from the past. It brings happiness with them, such as to cherish omnipresence. The makings of widespread appear, but why darkness also? Since every action produces an equal opposite reaction, attraction moves, touching moments these, to carry on from where love did run, once lit. Obvious instinct is our host. I believe love from the heart aids a canto, forever in our heart's poetic movement. Space, it becometh thee oneself. Our truest, a bird of paradise you, who shapes to conform love's panacea. This penchant above all else beckons, tendency towards eternal light. Essence incorporeal, the living, breathing space for love it does provide. Admissible as faith is to believing in angels, who in answer to your plea, mentor of the good cause is pretty bird. Her kindness we've kept as a prison. O transient one, for whom love is the blessing, but once is forever unto futures now known. For this I believe, our feelings, your presence thereof. Vibrancy is felt. Until now, if having doubt would have us need to improv otherwise, prove beyond any doubt how so worthy it is your staccato. It's music to our ears to listen to your awesome voice. Then we, the Magi, confess the beauty of your words amounts to being angelic and transic. Exploration of angels by their movements. Being believed, it will so prove. Substantial weight carried by poets and pretty birds, some awesome words.
Well, wow.
That was
entirely unexpected. I don't even have words. Not being in the best of places lately, all over the place emotionally speaking, this really means a lot to me. I'm both honored and humbled. And there's this part in here, where is it? This penchant above all else beckons a tendency towards eternal light. And you know what? I've kind of been all in the shadows lately. And so to be seen like that is really lovely. And I've been doing really good keeping my gunk together tonight, by the way. I absolutely appreciate the beauty of this. And I've always loved the elegance with which Titus writes. There's always just such beautiful flow and delicious words, and the way he puts them together is just amazing. And I don't know how all these good things in here that he has sprinkled about me are, I don't know where he sees them, but I am very thankful. I kind of needed to hear some of that. So that was, I am moved. And sweet, if you would run comments for me, I'd really appreciate it, because it's, I feel a little awkward being, hey, it's a poem. It's a pretty bird poem, you know? So, if you don't mind, sweet.
Not a problem. First and foremost, I just have to say I think it's a beautiful tribute to someone that deserves it. And I just thank you for letting her know that she deserves every bit of shine. So let's go to Raconteur. What do you think of this beautiful tribute?
Oh, I agree 100%. I believe. Well, I shouldn't say always, but I'm a fanboy. I admire her. I could definitely see her as a light at the end of a tunnel and a bird of paradise for sure. You know, he touches on her voice,
was stupid over sometimes, and it kind of takes away from the beauty of what she really, where she really shines, the world that she puts on the page and the emotions she puts out of us. You know, she's able to do that confounds some people. They're determined to try to figure out what she's talking about rather than realize the emotions that she's, you know, dragging and sharing with us, and, you know, not taking the words at their face sometimes. At the end of the day, everyone tends to agree that, you know, what she puts on the page is just and awe-inspiring. And, you know, yeah, I'm a fan.
And Blue, your comments, please.
Hey, Pretty Bird. I don't know if you remember the comment that I made to you about a week or two ago. I'm not sure. But if you remember a couple months ago, whenever I was not wanting to talk on the show, okay, that was really the first time I ever heard or listened to you. You were with Deb, and it was your words, and it was just the soothingness of your voice that just made me want to be on that show.
Wow.
It just helped me get through that darkness that time. It helped me see the light at the end of the tunnel then. And ever since that time, I have been a fan of yours. You just have that kind of voice that it just soothes what's going on in my brain, and it just brings me out. It's just that kind of thing. It makes me want to listen. It makes me, I mean, just like what I said before, it's just when those words come, it's just like somebody putting, you know, hugging you, okay, and giving you that support. So I think this poem says everything that way. So I don't have a favorite part, but I am one of your biggest fans. So that's all I have to say.
You guys are so amazing.
And Wayne, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I put on a Pretty Bird is delighted in the tunnel for a lot of us. We just can't express ourselves as well as Titus does. His words are magical, and he directed them to the right light. Because Pretty Bird is pretty special, and she is the light of a lot of people, for a lot of us. Good job writing the poem, and it's a great lady.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Lady A.
Well, I first want to say what a great evening this has been to be able to share all this and honesty. And Titus' poem is spectacular and elegant, articulate, intelligent, and empathetic as well. I think there's so many pits that, the word, when he, this is an acrostic, it says the light at the end of the tunnel is the laws of physics are subservient, helped by a myriad of souls whose own transpire similar fates to unleash each guided some way attraction to fulfill what love is. Souls will unite. And that says it all to me in that verse, because you know, we can't do it by ourselves as much as we can. And life is a journey, and just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to keep that grown-up going. And I thought he was very eloquent and insightful. This was a wonderful poem.
Thank you.
And Deb, since you know, I know you're also one of Titus' angels, can I have the last comment from you?
Yeah, I was just telling him in his comment that
I have to stop and wonder if he has any idea how deeply he touches us when he does these things. And he has this incredible knack for choosing a particular flower to add into it. And by the time he's done, you just can't help but feel special. And that's such a gift. And I can't say that there's a single thing in here that I disagree with. And I do realize the timing of this is extra special for you, Pretty Bird. And he pretty much hit me with mine at a time it was needed. So I wonder if he knows that we all consider him an earth angel. Hell of a poem.
And we absolutely do. He's amazing. You guys are so kind and so... All of you amaze me, and I appreciate everything all the time. Just, I have no words to just tell you, but I do. All of you, I do. And I'm going to not blubber, so we're going to read Wayne, and because I need to rein my stuff in, because I will blubber for the rest of the evening.
Well, when you asked me, sorry for me to read up to him, I looked at my phone was gone. I went down, let the cat out, left my phone downstairs. So I said to run in and get it real quick. But my poem is about, you know, everybody knows I've been going through some crazy stuff lately and been gone for a while, but this is what it's all about. It's called The Battle Is Not Over. It goes like this. I woke one day to find the world shaken. Thought it was wrong, must be mistaken. The puzzle symbol was a mystery. How could I be part of a conspiracy? It was a mistake to realize I was... It was painful to realize I was kept in the dark, looked up and surrounded by a hungry shark. Again, it couldn't be true. It had to be a prank. Thinking of what was transpiring, my heart sank. Betrayed and conspired upon by the ones I served, wondering what deed should I have ever deserved. It would have been better just to have been dismissed. My heartbreak turned to anger, became quite pissed. Not knowing the degree of treason, compelled to evaluate, found it a bit expensive, hoping my escape wasn't too late. Puzzles in my journal suddenly crystal clear. My demise was planned by the ones I held dear. The plan was not to leave, it was for me to die. Confusion was the middle of the day, the sauce was why. Not happy with what I gave, all greed had taken control. To think everything was the mission, I was glad to know. Their celebration was loud, rejoiced at my defeat. Not knowing the seed was planted, I laid at their feet. When the sun appeared, the darkness came to light into light. They scrambled to hide, I stood there ready to fight. They formed a line of defense. Mustered all they had, standing in their ugliness. Now all can see what they're bad. What they done to me made me feel like a hell. I have to decide if I want them to go to jail. Fight to right or wrong, my partner was at law. Got numbered 3-1, but I stood tall. First attack was swift. I made the right call. Many decided to run. The rest is up against the wall. Now we stand on even ground as they hide their face. I go before the mighty one to plead my case. Though victory is not assured, I stand proud. They will shiver when my statement is read aloud. Ian?
Well, that is a different end of the tunnel, but the end of the tunnel, isn't it? I mean, that is a serious, stressful thing you have been going through, and yeah. And now that it's you're through that part of it, you know, you can breathe a little bit. You stated your case. You're good to go. It's out of your hands. You did what you had to do, and so. You know, breathe a sigh of relief that hard work is over and that it will all turn out in your favor. This here towards the end, standing in their ugliness, now all can see the bad, what they had done to me made me feel like hell, and I have to decide if I want them to go to jail. And that is just like, wow, to be going through. That is not easy. That is stressful. And again, through it all, you are still Wayne. You are still, you know, with that smile, with that, you know, all good things. You know, I don't know how you do it, but you are definitely a blessed person. And you give me hope. You know, you really do, because you see that lining in every storm cloud, and just God bless you for it. So, Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, for one, I was, this is like really different for you, Wayne. Good difference. I'm not, but like, man, with stuff like betrayed and conspired upon by the ones I served, wondering by what deed should have ever deserved. I agree. That's like, damn. But the puzzle in my journal, suddenly crystal clear, my demise was planned by ones I held dear. I'm like, holy cow. The celebration was loud, rejoiced at my defeat, not knowing the seed was planted. I lay at their feet. I just the pieces that I just said put so many different emotions in me. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, fight to right or wrong, my partner is the law, outnumbered 3-1, but I stood tall. That's like a triumphant feel. So it's like a basket full of feelings that you have to deal with as you go on. Each stanza is another little piece. And when you're shivering at the end, when your statement is read aloud, I hope everything comes out the way you need it to, Wayne.
It doesn't deserve me. It's part of life. It's all part of life.
And Rat,
be going on for 19 months.
Wow, that's a long time.
You did a fantastic job with this, Wayne. There's a lot of emotion packed into it. I want to say I was kind of waiting for the wrath of Wayne, but I like the way you handled this. It was horribly relatable as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, it was a struggle that you not only came out on the other end, but you kept it classy. And, you know, I think karma is going to work in your favor as a result of that. I should say I hope. I can't predict.
You know.
You never know.
The law's on my side, but you never know about these lawyers. These lawyers are slick. You know,
that's true. And, Sweet, your thoughts?
Stand tall, Wayne. You know, people get evil when they cross love and greed. And you have never done that. You have always shown love, open and honest, and you do so many things for so many kids. And, you know, things are karma is in your corner, love is in your corner. I really hope if it comes down to prosecuting people that, you know, you do what's right in your heart, and I know you will because that's who you are. Mm-hmm. This is a story of, you know, bearing the flag of the right. And it's a hell of a story about good versus evil. And in the end, I know you will be the man you always are, who shows empathy and grace and courage. And even though they probably deserve a hell of a lot less from you, knowing you will still give them the greatest gift of love you have. Because that's who
I'm not going to prosecute anybody. Yeah, I'm not going to prosecute anybody. Never.
And Blue, your thoughts?
I'm here. I just want to say what really stuck out to me was that now we stand on even ground as they hide their face. But then you skip and say, I go before the mighty one to plead my just case. I think what really makes us stand on even ground when we fight our battles is that we definitely, you know, we definitely take it before God, and I think that really levels the playing field, you know, when we just, you know, definitely let go of everything. And that takes humility, you know, to really do that. And you know, I definitely give you kudos, Wayne. I mean, my brother has a very, very familiar story that's like that, that actually made it, like in the USA Today, like about 20 years ago, when he was beat up by a bunch of kids who escaped from a facility and crushed the bones in his face. And and he didn't take them or prosecute them. He just forgave them and he went on. So so a lot of what you're saying here reminds me of that story of my older brother. So that kind of does hit home. But I just wanted to expand on, you know, definitely when you take your case before God, you know, he's going to, you know, if you're in the right and you're just praying, you know, being humble with that selfishness aside, then definitely that's going to, you know, that's going to show a lot, you know, before him. So that's just what I wanted to say. That's what how that comes out to me.
So. Yeah, you're right, but this high mighty one could be the judge, and I got to go there May the 7th to plead my case.
Right, right.
So, but you're right about God. Right about God too.
And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, Wayne, I think you know if, when you have right on your side, and you have friends who support you. We all have to come together and claim the win and believe for you. And that's what I'm doing for you right now, is believing and claiming the success.
I appreciate it. It's all part of life. Well, it's just, to me, it's all a game. As long as I live, I'm playing the game. So I'm going to fight for my rights and do what I got to do.
Yeah.
And Deb, you are on the board.
Okay. I am in there.
Deborah.
Now. Hi. Okay. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Ma'am.
Yes, I can.
All right. This is called Sowing the Seeds of Love as Skies Dry. And there's a nod to the song in the title. And here we go. Hazel green eyes lift to spy the view over thick rows of cypress and pine. Lavender, pink, and cobalt tints rotate and dust colors glitter in the skyline as periwinkle pigments stir into gray, staining clouds that mask the shine. Shrouds circle above, dumping rains, blocking all the tangerine that glows. My knees hit the ground in the dark that covers landscape in shadows. But as teardrops mix in the puddles, chromium in the moonlight shows. At the edge of the cobblestone path, you walk neath the amber lamplight, then see me soaked by the shower, shivering from the coolness of night. Then stroll over, reaching out a hand. Smiling as stars blink opal and white. Fingers thread, then you yank me up. Eyes locked, staring as kneecaps bleed. With a handkerchief to wipe the cuts, pulled from a suit tailored from tweed. Now we head to the cafe at the plaza, sipping coffee by the pigeons we feed. As two sit and talk, sowing the seed. And poem. I gotta fix that.
I love that you kind of carry us to this place, and you kind of take us on this journey, and with these hues and emotions, and fingers thread, and then you yank me up, eyes locked, staring as kneecaps bleed, and with a handkerchief to wipe the cuts. You know, there's an affection there, a caring there, that is quite lovely. And all of this is kind of plays like a Nickelodeon, you know, because you wrote it very visually. And I kind of really love that. Yeah, you have this way of writing that kind of plays that way, like a film, when I read it, or especially when I hear you read it. And it's kind of ethereal that way, so it's really beautiful. And Lady A, your thoughts?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I thought it was beautiful, and I'm really, to be entirely honest, I'm a little overwhelmed with the poetry this evening, and it really has been so beautiful and so moving and so touching that, you know, you almost feel like you're going to fall apart, but fingers thread, then you yank me up, eyes locked, staring as kneecaps bleed,
with a handkerchief to wipe the cuts pulled from a suit tailored from tweed. It's like God himself picked you up, is picking you up, will pick you up, will pick all of us up, and apply that handkerchief. I think that this is a beautiful piece, and sipping coffee by the pigeons we feed as two sit talking and sowing the seed. Beautiful, beautiful piece.
Thank you, sir.
And Rack,
you're welcome.
Your thoughts.
You make me wish I could still fit in my tweed suit. This is absolutely stunning. I enjoyed it. It was romantic and endearing and you know, even feeding the pigeons, which, you know, I don't like pigeons, but, you know, in light of Titus's tribute to Pretty Bird, it made me think of that a little bit too. Yeah, you know, love sometimes needs an audience, and pigeons make a good audience. I mean, the idea of you know, sharing a cup of coffee and being the beginning of something like that, you know, after the tenderness of you know, the scraped knees is just a beautiful ending to this piece, and it's really very touching. You know, it's enough to make you well, me anyway, feel a little envious. Great poem.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
And Wayne, your thoughts on Dev's piece?
Well, what a lovely poem. This poem, as we look at it, so perfectly balanced with wonderful rhyme. It's a love story that's so wonderful that makes a reader feel like the emotions of love in their heart. It's a perfect picture prompt also. The colors of this poem paint such a beautiful picture that I know I'll sleep better after hearing this poem tonight. I feel a lot better just hearing this poem. It made me feel comfortable inside. Great job, Deb. I think it's a wonderful poem.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
And Boo, your thoughts? Are you on mute?
Okay. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Debbie. How are you doing tonight? I hope you're well. Let me try to find that part again. I know it's here someplace. Okay. This line hit me because it's really funny. I work with this kind of metal and this color of metal all the time in building parts at work. So I know how delicate this is and how it scratches and how it can be marred. So when you said, but as teardrops mix in the puddles, chromium in the moonlight shows. By putting that word chromium in there, or chromate, like I said, to me, that's something like when it's applied to parts or anything else like that. It's very delicate. It scratches. It can ruin things. Just even when different things are applied to it, like different kinds of gases, which is something that I work with, and that kind of stuff, it has to be structurally sound. So I think that sentence right there is actually the crux or the main part of the poem where it switches, where it shows hope at the light of the tunnel. So I think that's a great line. I think you did really well. I really enjoyed this poem. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And me and my unfortunate hosting for tonight, I completely forgot about Sweet because she's been here from the beginning and I didn't even see her poem. So so I love you, Sweet. I am so sorry. And now so she is up on the board.
Well, first off, no worries. First off, I love Deb's poem. It just reminds me that there can be beauty and romance outside of fairy tales, and it's just perfect, beautiful imagery, and just makes you believe that there's more to this world than just angry people ready for divorce. So I really enjoyed it. So
thank you, my sweet.
You're welcome. Mine is more of a holistic look at life. So this is Covered Wagons. Sangria songs whistle and dustless tumbleweeds. Romantic portraits of grandiose rustic sunsets roll. Monochrome scenery, a time where Western cowboys take hold. Brick building hosts gunslingers and lawmen, country folk and a madam in a pink boa, horse hoofs and boots covered in Colorado clay. Teeth chew on tobacco leaves and gravel grit, leaving rows of stained, hollowed-out picket fence smiles and enhancing a gentleman's beard with a slick of yellow vial. Journeys begin, newlyweds in covered wagons start families. Years tally, children grow, and lovers are buried 10 covered wagons before the last nail and the log cabin is hammered in by grandchildren. Decades of innovation push generations to maximization of exploration, cars to planes to rocket ships, heights of intelligence to bitter ignorance, world wars and atomic bombs, enemies and friends of governments. Expedite information, money, love, and tomfoolery, no time to explore. Ideas are on repeat, exhaustion, working to achieve money to appease landlords, grocery whores, insufficient school boards, bank fees, me. Journeys begin with new thoughts and fresh eyes, and hope shines, and songs of peace are sung. The sun rises, and a neophyte generation hails its epiphany for peace and freedom. White tombstones lie in rows, and old folks tell old stories of days when prejudice and hate ruled the world. And bright-eyed children laugh at me and say, Grandma, stop fooling. End poem.
You are an excellent storyteller. This was amazing, like amazing, amazing. I mean, first of all, you're from way back when, and you just gave us all a whole little story throughout history, but you're so colorful in your descriptions, you know, teeth chew on tobacco leaves and gravel grit, leaving rows of stained, hollowed-out picket fence smiles. I mean, it's lovely in its verbiage, and but you can see that picket fence smile all right there, and the kind of grossness of, you know, that because it enhances a gentleman's beard with a slick of yellow vial, that's ew. And but it sounds so lovely when you're telling the story, you know. It's just this whole visceral thing as you go through time and all the changes and you get back down to and hope shines and songs of peace are sung and songs of peace are sung. The sun rises, a neophyte generation hails its epiphany for peace and freedom. I mean, this is just like amazing. I'm kind of glad that it's all the way down here, because it's like this grandiose story, which is awesome, and I really loved it. I absolutely loved it. And Lady A, what are your thoughts? Oh, you're welcome.
Well, you have back to it. Hang on a second. I lost my page here. I think that I love the title of it, and I love what the title means. And I thought that this was really well written, and I love the rhyme in it. I thought the whole thing. Just trying to see. The whole thing was great. Brick building hosts gunslingers and lawmen, country folk and a madman in a feather boa, horse hoofs and boots covered in Colorado clay. That the whole thing was, you know, when you think about how that time, and especially in that area, was settled, it was a journey and a half. It was a very difficult time, I'm sure. But I really like how you, and white tombstones lay in rows and old folks tell old stories of days when prejudice and hate ruled the world. and bright eyes means Grandma, stop fooling. Wouldn't that be something? I just thought I thought it was terrific.
Thank you, Lady.
I think the story was. Sorry, that's good.
And Miss Deborah Lee, your thoughts?
Sweet, you talk about my imagery, but yours is really, really phenomenal here. My goodness, I don't even know where. I think somebody already mentioned teeth chew on tobacco leaves and gravel grit, leaving rows of stained, hollowed-out, picket-fenced smiles. What an amazing metaphor for the smile where teeth are missing. Years tally, children grow, and lovers are buried 10 covered wagons before the last nail in the log cabin is hammered by grandchildren. And just that one word in there changes the scenario, and you go from a negative or a tattered image to some joy, because, I mean, how can you hear the word grandchild and not smile? And with stuff like world wars and atomic bombs, enemies and friends of governments, expedite information, money, love, and tomfoolery, no time to explore ideas or on repeat. I mean, there's so much here. But towards the end, journeys begin with a new thoughts and fresh eyes, and hope shines, and songs of peace are sung as the sun rises. A neophyte generation hails its epiphany for peace and freedom. Wouldn't that be nice if people just realized how much more joy we'd all get with just peace and freedom? Geez. But then at the bottom again, and bright-eyed children laugh at me and say, Grandma, stop fooling. And they're so endearing. I mean, I can just picture your little grandson saying to you, you know, Grandma, stop fooling. And you, with your grin, showing love in your eyes. It's just like you packed tons of information into this one. Amazing, right, sweet?
Thank you.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes, you know, men and wagon trains had to see the light in the tunnel in their minds to endure what they went through. And the challenges you put in this poem was just amazing and not easy to swallow. You said generations of maximum exploration of cars to planes to rocket ships, heights of intelligence to bitter ignorance, world wars, atomic bombs, enemies and friends of governments. That's just amazing. But at the end of it, you put a bright light that I can see through all the darkness that you have. You said, and I wish you was my grandma so I could say I love you, Grandma. You're wonderful. Great poem.
Thank you, Wayne.
And Hal, your thoughts?
Excuse me. Once again, I have to be taken off mute. Before I get serious, I just want to read this line. It says, journeys begin with new thoughts and fresh eyes. Sweet, does that mean that you're not going to be Miss Darkness anymore?
Oh, absolutely not. No, don't worry about that.
I really had to throw that in. That was like a clincher there. Sorry about that. I know that this is talking about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and really about our society, you know, and things like that. But it's happened since the beginning of time. We watch these Westerns on TV. We watch, you know, the Oregon Trail movies and all that kind of stuff. But when she said, like, the white tombstones lay in rows and old folks tell old stories, just really reminds you of the unmarked graves, all the people who died for our freedoms.
Absolutely.
And it really seems that with everything moving so fast, you know, decades and generations, you know, like what she was talking about, that's really getting pushed to the back. You know, the appreciation for that is becoming less, you know, less and less. I mean, yes, it is true that the generation now does talk about peace and they sing those songs, you know, and things like that. But really, really thinking about what those white tombstones are for. I mean, I have relatives who are buried, you know, in those white tombstones in the national cemeteries, you know, and that's what the old stories need to be, you know, that grandma tells, you know, about what those freedoms are and what they really were, what generations were that really went to fight those, you know. Think about what the people in the covered wagons went through, you know, prairies as tall as the wagons, you know, that had never been touched, going across the Rockies, you know, not knowing if they could make it up over a hill or to cross a river, you know, or what would be swept away when they crossed the other side, you know, those are the kinds of things. So I really appreciate, you know, what you put into this poem, Sweet. And I did add it to, I did add it to a list, so I do have it marked. Hi. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Blue. I really appreciate that.
And Lady A, did I already ask you for a comment?
Yes, you did.
Okay. We are a little
you
bit. Okay,
you
one second. I will give some comment in one second. Deb, we have two SoundClouds. If we only get a couple of comments, can I just squeeze them in real quick?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're awesome. Okay, Rack, your thoughts on this fabulous story that Sweet Pea does.
Well, you know, I think of Sweet Pea, and one of the things I think of immediately is her dogs. And she triggered my OCD with just with the title about the wagon train. You remember that dog food commercial? Yes. It's right away, that's where my head went. But the journey that you took us on, you know, when I got over that stupid dog food commercial, the journey that you took us on was you know, reminding me of the struggles that the pioneers went through, you know, just to churn butter and turn milk into butter and things like that. It's not like, you know, refrigeration and all those other things. You don't mention it specifically, but, you know, that's what's wrapped up in words like, you know, pioneer and chuck wagon and the stories that you told. And, you know, you talk about being a grandma at the end. So, you know, that's kind of makes you a little older than you actually are and almost makes it feel like you're telling it from that point of view. Like, you know, yeah, I was on the chuck wagon. Yeah, no, you weren't. But, you know, it kind of just, you know, it made the story that much more endearing. But, you know, it was, like everyone said, beautifully told with wonderful imagery. And it was very relatable and endearing. And I enjoyed it very, very much.
Thank you.
So if you guys will bear with me, I have two SoundClouds left for tonight, and we'll do some quick comments, and if you can leave them some love in their comments so that we don't shaft them, because I seldom run over time, and you know, I talk a lot, so I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often than it does. But I'm on the board.
I'm going to say goodnight, though, okay?
Okay.
Goodnight,
Lydia. Thank you for a great evening, you guys. Love you all.
Oh, thank you.
Love
it.
So
see you Friday
night.
We have, you know, I might have to tune into that show to see that rivalry. So right now we have Gerald on the board, and I'm going to play him, and then we have one more after that before the evening is done. So here we go.
The Test, written and read by Gerald Green. I breathed a sigh and said goodbye to stress and his accoutrements that burdened me and made her cry increasingly in increments. It was a struggle, 10 long weeks, at first a whisper, then a shout, that thundered high like alpine peaks we suffered and could not drown out. Each day got worse. As pressure built, she wouldn't look me in the eye. I felt remorse and full of guilt, without solution or reply. And then the test, no longer pink, brought joy and peaceful aftermath, great news that made me want a drink and made her want a bubble bath. End poem.
You know, I never know if he's going to be serious or funny, and but especially because he starts reading and they all sound like in his same stoic voice, and so I really appreciate how I always get surprised when he writes. I really enjoyed this. I love how y'all had different tunnels with different endings all night long. So it was kind of amazing that you guys, you know, kind of had, like, it never occurred to me that there would be so many avenues of what that light would look like. So I have been thrilled all evening long. So this was, you know, and the test is no longer pink. That brought joy and peaceful aftermath. You know, so this one had a drink and that one had a bubble bath. And, you know, you got to love it. Sweet, what are your thoughts?
Well, I always want the bubble bath, so we're good. I love it when he's humorous. But then again, I also like to drink while I'm having a bubble bath. So I think I'm kind of a, you know, combination of both of them. I don't know if that's
ain't nothing
right.
Wrong
I don't
with
know
that.
If that's right. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's where I'm at with this.
And that's awesome. And Wayne, what are your thoughts?
I said your poem was humorous, and I got a little nervous at first when it started out, but then you came through at the end and made me smile. Great poem, and I enjoyed it a lot.
And Rack and Tour.
I'm sorry, the rabbit died. I enjoyed the poem though. I wouldn't mind a bubble bath myself.
I'm telling you, sometimes it ails many things.
Water.
Yeah.
And Blue, your thoughts?
I actually thought this poem was great. I think he wrote, what is it? Each day got worse as pressure built. She wouldn't look me in the eye. I felt remorse and full of guilt without solution, a reply. I mean, I think that's every 9 to 10 weeks that maybe most men go through, you know, until the time comes, or when they send them out late at night, which unfortunately not anymore because of the COVID. But or when they send them out late at night and have those weird, like, ice pickles and ice cream type things, you know, that they want in the middle of the night. You know what I mean. but definitely also great news that made me want to drink. I don't think at that point there's no round room like what we were talking about before. I think it's all square, and I think the door is open, and he runs right for the door. I think he runs to the end of the tunnel. So anyway, I thought it was really good. It was a great way to, you know, to have it as one of the last poems of the night. Perfect.
That's lovely. And so we have one more, and it is Phil the Poet, and he has a SoundCloud as well, and he is on the board. And, oh, it might be nice if I push the button. I completely forgot. Now I have to find it and read. Here we go. All right. It's just so tiny, the font. Here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Brand New Day. A brand new day is dawning. The sun caresses the sky as it kisses the morning. Hello. Birds greet the new day with gleeful chirps that fill hearts with wonder. Gone are the dark days. Ahead, hope in a world of the unknown. The first day of the rest of your life, a little older, a little wiser. A brand new year to start things anew, wiping the slate clean. End poem.
See, how is that for standing out there in that sun? You know, like, that tunnel is behind him, and it is all sunshine and morning birds and hope. And I kind of love that we are ending on that kind of high note of good things. That's kind of amazing. So I'm glad that he's here at the end, because it is all, you know, you're a little older, you're a little wiser, we're wiping the slate clean, we're going to take a turn, you know, chin up and take a step forward. And I like embracing that notion, you know. It just feels good. It feels good to feel you know, a little bit of light instead of all the shadows. And Sweet, what are your thoughts on Phil's piece?
Well, it's always better to stand in the warmth of the sun than crawl back in the cold, damp cave. But I'm kind of pale, so I burn in the sun. So we'll stick to keeping the sand in the sun where it's warm and bright. I like that idea.
There you go. And Wayne, what are your thoughts?
Well, he took the words right out of my mouth. I love the positivity. Every day is the first day of the rest of your life. Why not start up your life out smiling? He's a very wise man for saying what he said tonight. I like his poem a whole lot, the way I feel. Great job.
Absolutely. And Hal, your thoughts?
Thank you. I believe this is actually a perfect poem for what we're going through with COVID. I think it's a great rebuff by most of the poems that people might write, you know, for the day. I mean, he just starts it off so positive. A brand new day is dawning. The sun caresses the sky. Oh, my goodness, the sun caresses the sky. That's just absolutely gorgeous. It's just like they're together, hand in hand. And it kisses the morning hello. That is perfect. I mean,
isn't it?
Having somebody say that to you before you go to sleep at night almost makes you just have good dreams and wake up positive the next day.
There you go. That is. And Rock and Tour, your thoughts on this happy piece to end our show?
I got to quote Dogbert from the comic strip, Shut Up and Reboot. This is like, you know, it's a brand new day, you know, that's the boilerplate solution that they put on all the flow charts for everyone that you call on tech support. Did you try rebooting your, you know, start out, they're basically saying start fresh, you know, and this encompasses all of that, you know, a fresh start, a clean start, ignore everything else and just, you know, begin at the beginning. Beautiful poem, Phil, and a wonderful message. Well said.
I would like to point out that we started with you where you kind of like call out these blasé sayings, and then we end with a poem full of this hope, but it feels like warmth. And I think that is like just this full circle thing of the show, and I found that to be kind of perfect. So I think you all are wonderful, and I thank you for sticking with me for like this long show. I've never had a show this long in my life, even though I talk a lot. And I love your insights and your support, and you're just fabulous and amazing. And you guys really made me feel better because I have been in a place, and knowing that there is that light at the end of the tunnel, that there's always that hope, that there are different ways to look at the shadows. And you know what? It's not always black there. There's light gray, medium gray. Sometimes you're in the light for a minute. And so I just felt completely wrapped up tonight and with warmth. And just thank you all. I truly appreciate you. You guys are amazing. I will see you in a month for my next show. Who knows what topic is going to be? And I think you're fabulous. So thank you for a wonderful, wonderful evening of wonderful words. Good night, everybody.
Good night, honey.
Good night.
Thank you for your love talk radio. Goodbye.